Rod's Pulse Podcast number 87, Special iPad and Education Edition.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back.
This is Rod, and that was a teaser by Yael Naim, her song New Soul. You may recognize it because it was featured in some Apple ads a while back, and I figured since our main topic today was an Apple product, it was an appropriate song to play. So stay tuned at the end of my podcast, and you'll hear the full song New Soul by Yael Naim. I'm going to deviate a little bit from my normal format today, and instead of listing a number of different topics from my podcaster guide and e-learning news, I'm just going to show you a link on my show notes to bookmarks that I've saved over the recent past in preparation for this podcast, 20 or more links about the iPad, especially their use in education and e-textbooks. So you can find that on my podcast show notes, www.rodspulsepodcast.com. You'll also see several links to iPad apps that I find very useful, and I think apps that faculty and students will find useful in their education. So for my main topic today, it's an interview with Dr. Mary Ann Gowelick. She's the provost at Seton Hill University. And we'll be talking about, as they say, an iPad for everyone. She'll tell us about their Technology Advantage program and how they prepared their faculty and their IT infrastructure to handle iPads and MacBook Pros for all their incoming students. So with that, let's continue on with the interview. Mary Ann, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me and my audience today. I was very excited to learn about your Griffin Technology Advantage program. And I thought it'd be great if you could tell my audience a little bit more about it. Let me say what I think it is, and you can correct me. Starting this fall, you're going to be providing iPads and MacBook Pros for all of your incoming students. Is that right?
We're going to do the iPad for all full-time students across the university, and for incoming students, the MacBooks and the iPads.
What was the main driver for deciding to do this?
Well, we were fortunate enough to get a Title III grant that provided comprehensive training for integrating the use of technology to increase learning in our courses. So our faculty, about 23 of our faculty, went through a training in the 09-10 year. As we got into the fall semester and we were seeing the beginnings of faculty excitement with that, we said, if we're going to really have this impact students, they need to have the appropriate technology. So we kind of went out and worked with the faculty, got them to approve technology. And
tell me a little bit more about the kind of training that you provided your faculty.
The training's designed to do interactive technology. So 7 years ago, all of our faculty went through what I would call flat technology usage. So they learned how to use all the Office suite, how to integrate internet into their classroom teaching, how to use chat and threaded discussions. We now wanted to begin to have faculty see, and I'm using this as an illustration, using flat PowerPoint presentation in the same way when we went to PowerPoint presentations that we saw that comparable to the old mimeograph machine. So what we're asking people to do with technology is to use podcasting, to do iChats, to use Second Life or a comparable system, but to begin to move towards the use of technology that engaged more rigorously students in the classroom environment.
When you first proposed your program to provide these devices, how did your faculty respond, and how did you, what did you have to do to get them on board?
The faculty initial response was, oh, maybe we should stay with what I would call the older equipment. Maybe we should stay with PCs, and maybe the mobile devices will be distracting. As the faculty who were in what we call our elite training program talked about their experience, there was a segment of our faculty that got pretty excited about it. And as we talked about the advantages of the laptops and the mobile devices, we could illustrate how they would be useful to the students, both as they were learners and how they might be useful to folks in the as they went into jobs. The other piece I would say that was a selling point for a segment of our faculty is that, as you're probably aware, the MacBooks can have the virtual machines and can function as a PC. And particularly for our business faculty and some of our science faculty, that was a value added that I think tipped their hand in the direction of approval.
Oh, good point. Yeah, that was one of my questions. You know, I was curious how many faculty actually use Windows on their MacBook. So I guess it would make sense for business, I guess, somewhat engineering?
We don't have engineering, but the course is in engineering, yes. Mm-hmm. And some of the natural sciences, I'm not sure, are driven by the need to use the PC, but they kind of have a tendency to use it. You know, and some people started out kind of crossing over between what I refer to as the Mac side and the PC side, and increasingly stay on the Mac side.
Yeah, I see that as well.
I mean, this isn't an Apple commercial. I mean, we readily say in front of our Apple colleagues, if a mobile device became more useful than the iPad as we kind of progressed in this study, we would consider transferring over. I think our students taught us one thing. They are not, like when we began talking with students, and there were obviously the majority of our students are PC users, they were not at all nervous about switching over to MacBooks. So they saw it as a big value added. While most of our students were not at that point using the iPhone, because when the announcement first came out, we were going to do the iPhone or the iPod. As soon as the iPad came out, the students were readily able to talk about the advantages.
I look at the iPad as being one of the first potentially really viable platforms, for example, e-textbooks. Is that in your game plan? Have you explored the use of electronic textbooks?
We have. As you might imagine, the first folks to kind of say, oh, yeah, we'll take this on, are the folks who could use the library and get the literature people who could get most of what they were paying for text for free. That's a big value for our students. We are, all of the faculty, when they did their book orders this year through our bookstore, were asked to consider any book that was in electronic text, considered adapting to that format. And for texts that were available, students did that automatically. The faculty did that automatically for students. We're also engaged with a company that I can't give the name of it at this point because it's not a final deal, to do some testing on some electronic books that are designed as highly interactive and be used on the iPad.
Interesting. Yeah, I did a podcast on e-books several months ago now before the iPad came out. And, you know, it's always been the issue around having a monochrome display like the Kindle and some of the Sony e-readers. And I also talked about e-textbooks that were just on the web. And there didn't seem to be, it really seems to be in the infancy of that kind of a product. I did see some potential movement in the right direction at the Blackboard meeting not too long ago. I think it was a Follett publishing company is coming out with their textbooks on the iPad. So I think before long, hopefully we'll see a lot more movement in that direction.
Right. I think, as a relatively new reader of books on my iPad, you know, there are moments when I think, oh, well, I long for that, you know, that paper copy. I think that will happen for certain people, and certain faculty may not make this move. We're not mandating it. We're encouraging it. We believe ultimately it will help with students' finances, and that's an important issue for us that we take very seriously. So,
was there a reason to provide iPads for your faculty, or is it that's primarily just for your students?
No, we have iPads for all of the faculty, all of our full-time faculty. We were not able to provide them for the adjuncts. All of our full-time faculty and any teaching faculty who are teaching first-year students got iPads. The idea here was the majority of those, it may take a couple years for them to get completely through the program, but we will do some step-up professional development activities throughout this year so faculty can share applications that are particularly useful. So we gave some financial support for people to get apps and to test out apps for teaching.
Some of the real tech geeks are skeptical about the iPad, but I think until you really get one in your own hands and you take it home and you start using it, does the value really come out? Have you had any, I assume you have a lot of positive responses. Do you have any negative responses about the iPad?
Well, it's actually interesting. I haven't heard any negative responses from the students, although the majority of the students who have played with the iPads are our student leaders and our student ambassadors because we haven't done the general distribution yet. I will actually be listening carefully to whether or not we get some negative response from students. But from the faculty, there are, I think, some people who kind of say, oh, well, it's not quite big enough. They long for their larger screened laptop. So I don't think it's a universal. What I think is helpful is we keep on testing them out, and we'll know more after a year.
I wonder if you could say a little bit about the changes you've had to make in your IT infrastructure to support this undertaking.
Right, our IT staff is highly energetic. We also have an instructional design staff that really came to the university as an outcome of our professional development training. So we have two full-time instructional designers who work with the faculty and do the faculty training, and we have somebody who manages from the academic side our learning management system. We will add, as a result of the iPad distribution, also application designer, and there'll be a kind of a Mac tech person that's added. So two additional full-time people, mm-hmm. One kind of more on the pure tech side and one more on the application design side.
How about more hardware infrastructure part?
I'm sure if our director of IT was here, he would say, oh, yeah, we need more people. But actually, at this point, they are running with their structure as they had it before we started. Now, we ramped them up because last year we kind of this is going to be the non-IT answer to this question, but we kind of girded up our infrastructure last summer, and at that time had added an extra full-time IT person.
And so I assume you have high-speed wireless throughout your campus?
We do. Our campus extends into the our local town, and we have high-speed wireless campus on our at our town portion of the campus as well.
I was quite impressed my recent visit to your school. Not only is it a very attractive location, your IT group really seems to know what they're doing. It sounds like this is going to be a successful deployment, and I'll be very interested to keep in touch and to follow up. I know the deployment actually hasn't been made yet, but are there any lessons you've learned at this point, you know, recommendations on how a school might go about something like this?
Well, there's no question about it. Having the faculty's energy and an excitement about it, I think, is an undergirding that we could not have pulled this off without having their leadership in this venture. And I think we'll have a lot more information, and our story will be much richer to tell as we have, I mean, I just reviewed the 23 projects that will go into place in this year's curriculum, and at the end of this academic year, we'll be able to see how the students respond to that and what the kind of performance indicators tell us about the learning experience. I think we have a dynamic and visionary IT director, so I think you need that. And you need to keep saying internally to your structure, this is a different way of thinking. So we had to go back, for example, and look at our technology classroom policies to say, oh, well, we better take that sentence out, or we better change this policy.
I know folks like me are probably thinking, how could you afford to do all this? Parts that you don't necessarily want to disclose, but is there anything that you can tell us about you were able to afford this large deployment?
Yes, we really looked at institutionally what was required at this moment in time in higher ed to have a full learning experience. And as I said, a year ago now, in spring, we looked at that and we said, well, we wanted to go wireless. We wanted to increase overall technology capability. And with that decision, made the decision to raise our technology fee. Now, there are certain things that we did with the technology fee that help support the MacBooks and the iPads. So, for example, the fee's a little lower for students who are simply getting the iPads and not doing the whole Tech Advantage program as the first-year students are. But we believe that that tech fee is important enough and enough of a value added to students to have it be something that is as important as the books we buy in the library.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this program. It's pretty exciting. I'll be anxious to follow up with you. And would you agree to come back, say, a year from now and give us an update?
I'd love to do that. I'd love to be able to do that. And maybe I could pull in a couple of the faculty who actually made these big changes.
That would be terrific.
Okay.
Well, Marianne, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Great, Rodney. Take care.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the interview. As you can imagine, Seton Hill was one of the first schools to get a lot of publicity about providing iPads for their students. And I think you'll see there are many other schools that are doing the same. And it's bound to become a popular option, especially when e-textbooks become more popular and the publishers get on board. And I'm sure we'll see some competition from the likes of Android-powered notebooks or netbooks, whatever you want to call them. As you may know, the Android operating system is produced by Google. This whole situation with notebook computers reminds me a lot of the PC wars, so to speak, back in the late 90s, where Windows was taking on Apple's lead in terms of windowing operating systems. And you have Apple with a more closed, tightly controlled system with great software, user-friendly things that work, versus a much more open environment, which lets in a lot of different developers and platforms that run, in this case, the Android operating system. You'll see a lot more of different Android devices from different carriers and standalone notebooks. But as with Windows, there probably is going to be a lot of variability. There have already been reports of a lot of Android phones crashing when you install certain apps. Just by its very nature, the Android system is not as tightly controlled by the vendor. Anyway, I'm sure you'll be hearing more and more about this. I hope you enjoyed my podcast today. With that said, have a great week.
Please leave odd feedback at 610-616-2199.
Strange world, hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and the fear, finding myself making every possible mistake. Strange world, hope. why is everything so wrong? This is a happy end. Come and give me your hand. I'll take you far away. I'm a new soul. I came to this strange world, hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and the feel, finding myself making every possible mistake.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences in Philadelphia or any other institution or company.